So a cross, a symbol of death. The Persians started crucifixion. They are the ones who began this process that we call crucifixion, where somebody was hung on a cross to die. And then the Romans, they got a hold of it, and they quote unquote perfected it. A cross or crucifixion was the ultimate in death. It was used to persuade people, don't try to cross our line, or else this is what you can expect. And it was used as an example. People who were crucified were hung up on a cross where everybody could see. And in fact, it was intentional. They wanted people to see people suffer on a cross. And it was an agonizing, sometimes long-lasting process of dying on a cross. And people in that society and in that place, they knew what the cross meant. It meant humiliation and certain agonizing death. And not only death, but a death that was intended to be an example so everybody could see. Yes, when people saw the cross, they knew exactly what it meant. And it meant death and nothing else. Now, throughout human history, we've had other symbols of death where humans have perfected how to bring about death. One I'd like to bring up this morning, a concentration camp. A concentration camp was designed for death. Designed for death that would be as efficient as it possibly could be to eliminate a group of people from the face of the earth. And they engineered it in such a way they were good at it. The gas chambers were created so that as many people as possible could be murdered as they possibly could. My grandfather, my Grandpa Johnson, was a World War II veteran, and he was in the army and the infantry. And he marched across much of Europe. And when I asked him one time about experiences that he had in World War II, he talked to me about how he marched across Europe. And there was a time when they came upon a concentration camp. And he shared with me pictures. Pictures of mass graves. Mass graves filled with hundreds, if not thousands, of bodies. And he shared with me, Michael, I can show you all kinds of pictures. And I can tell you all kinds of stories. But the memory that will always be with me, he said, was the stench of death. It was everywhere, and it was everywhere within me too. It was the stench of death that you could not escape. And he says, that will be with me forever. And I pray you never have to experience that stench of death. And now I'd like to go to our gospel story. Our gospel story where today we have Jesus with Mary and Martha at their house, and he's having a meal. Martha is serving, and Mary, we find her at the feet of Jesus, where she is pouring this expensive perfume, nard is what it's called, and it comes all the way from the Himalayas, hence why it's so expensive. And she's pouring it on Jesus' feet. And we're told there's this aroma with this perfume, the sweet aroma that is filling the house. It is filling the house, this beautiful smell. And we're told that Judas is there also. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples. And he is watching this and he points out, why on earth was not this expensive perfume sold? Sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And what he was covering up was a stench of its own. That's what was within him. The stench of he didn't care about the poor at all. He was the disciple that was tasked with carrying the common purse. The common purse where people would give financial support for their ministry, and he would carry all this money. He was responsible for it. And what he was doing was stealing from it for himself. So no, he didn't care about the poor. The stench of that brokenness was being hidden by his words. Why wasn't it given to the poor when he didn't care about them at all? And Jesus then tells him and those around him, let her alone, leave her alone. What she's doing is preparing my body, anointing my body for my burial. Because he was about to go to the cross, where he would enter into that stench of death. And she was preparing it with this amazing aroma. But did you notice there was somebody else there? Did you notice that there was somebody else in that room that had an intimate relationship with the stench of death? It was Lazarus. Did you catch that? Lazarus was at that table with Jesus while Mary is pouring this expensive perfume on his feet and anointing his body for his burial. Lazarus was there, who had been dead. And remember, when Lazarus died, they called Jesus. And when Jesus arrives, he had already been dead. Lazarus had already been dead 3 days. And Jesus says, take me to him. And they say, no, you don't want to do that because he's already been dead 3 days. And the stench of death was reeking that area. You don't want to go there. And now Lazarus, very much alive, is at that table where Jesus' feet are being anointed and Jesus' body being prepared and anointed for his burial, where he would enter into that stench of death. But what was different now? Lazarus was in a place where this amazing aroma, a sweet aroma of life was filling the room. He goes to the cross. And at the cross, he enters into that stench of death. Now, my grandfather, years later, when it was close to the end of his life, he was in hospice care in Grandpa and Grandma's apartment. And we were told that it looked like death was going to be very, very soon. And so the family gathered in the apartment. And on that night, as the evening went on, You were invited, if you'd like, to go into the bedroom where Grandpa was. He was not responsive at this point. And if you'd like, you can go in by yourself and spend some time with Grandpa. And I did. And then when I left, I went out into the room, out into the outdoors, and the stench of death overwhelmed me. And it made me fall to my knees and I wept. I hated that reality of death that was right here in front of me. I hated it. I didn't want to be experiencing that stench of death, and yet there it was, and it knocked me to my knees. I'll never forget that stench of death. And then it was a couple days later, Grandpa was still with us. Grandpa did that. Grandpa had a great sense of humor. When you thought things were supposed to be a certain way, Grandpa just had a way of twisting it a little bit to put a smile on your face. Well, sure enough, Grandpa was still with us a couple days later, and we gathered again in that apartment. This time, Grandpa was sitting in his chair, not responsive. And he would sit there with his head kind of down, and we were all there being attentive to Grandpa. And every once in a while, Grandpa would go, raise his head, and he'd go, "Hurry up, hurry up!" And we'd all run to Grandpa. "Are you okay? Are you hurting? We can help you with that. There's no need for you to be hurting." And then his head would just go down. And then a little while later, his head would come up, "Help me, help me!" And then his head would go down, and we would all come, and, "Grandpa, tell us what you need. We are here for you. You're not alone. We're here with you." And this went on throughout the evening. And then there was a time of silence. And I remember asking my uncle, Grandpa's son, I said, "Bruce, what was it like growing up having Clarence, my grandfather, as your father?" And Bruce started sharing stories. Stories which led to other people remembering stories. And people remembering other stories. And the room started to be filled with these stories of life and remembering. And there was laughter and there were some tears too. But there were tears of gratitude. And the room was filled with the fragrance of life. And that's when my grandfather took his last breath. I have to tell you, the stench of death was gone. Why? Because we knew that God had come near. God had come near and transformed that place of death, which we were fully aware of, into a place of gratitude, into a place of mercy and life that was eternal, life that would not be snuffed out even with a last breath. And that's what Jesus does with the cross. He goes to that place that was supposed to be a symbol of death, certain humiliation and agonizing death. Jesus goes into that place. God goes into that place and transforms it into a place of promise and forgiveness and life. Life that nothing can snuff out. That's the sacred place of the cross, where we are fully aware of the reality of death in all of its forms and God coming near in that precise place and transforming it into promise of life. So in these next moments, I invite you to ponder those places of death, and each of us has different aspects of that. Ponder for yourself those places of death for you, and imagine God coming near, and open yourself may we open ourselves to God coming near and transforming that place of death into the promise of life.